I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights, make it spicy. My margaritas, make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Want to listen to the full Burt Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burt Show.
Here's what I learned this weekend: that tailgating all weekend is a young man's game.
Duh.
Man, I am hurting from head to toe.
Hey,
trying to keep up.
You're going to be a man at night.
Yep.
Got to be a man in the morning.
I'm trying. I am really trying. So I went to Auburn this weekend with some friends. It was his birthday, and there was also an Aubie reunion. Now, it's a big deal to be the Auburn mascot, right?
Uh-huh.
I know when you're talking about mascots and you talk about reunions or conventions, it could seem pretty funny. Like, if everybody was showing up in their mascot uniform, it would be funny. But, yeah, like, every 5 years, these guys link back up at a game and acquaint each other again, you know, just catch up. And it's a really amazing community that they've built. I didn't realize, like, Auburn is the Alabama of mascots.
Really?
Yeah, so if there was like a ranking of schools, Auburn would be number one. They have like 13 mascots that are professional mascots, either football or basketball. So it's a really big deal, and it's amazing traditions. It's a whole world that I didn't understand.
I am like, I feel like we need to do a segment called Ask a Mascot.
Yes, seriously.
Right?
To learn more.
So, yeah, I was hanging out with those guys all weekend, and they just build this community where they really help each other out. If one of them loses a family member, Aubie's come and help with planning a funeral.
Not in the costume, right?
Not in the costume.
Okay, just it'd be so weird if you're at like a family's funeral and all of a sudden the Auburn mascot shows up. Now, if they were a huge Auburn fan, that would make total sense.
But yeah, there are a whole bunch of different traditions, and I did that at Auburn this weekend. It was just a really great weekend, but a long weekend, and my body just can't take that anymore.
Yeah,
so,
no.
That's a long weekend.
This, tailgating to me is starting to feel like Vegas used to, where I could do it for days and days, and then the trip just got shorter and shorter and shorter.
I don't understand. You're saying tailgating is one day.
No, it starts on Friday night when you get into town.
Okay, see, yeah, no, I mean, I went to an SEC school, and, you know, granted, you know, you live there, but tailgating's a day. Wow. You're making it sound like it's a Vegas weekend.
Yeah, the whole weekend.
Now you tell me it's a day.
Yes.
We started Friday and didn't end until late Saturday.
Well,
so
it was also a friend's birthday weekend.
Yes, it was.
Yes. So that adds in a whole other element. And a mascot reunion. Oh my gosh. It was like a trifecta.
How are you, Abby? You went to New York over the weekend.
No, I was in D.C.
D.C.,
which I had really low expectations for, because I've only been once and I didn't really go out much in the nightlife scene. So my mom and I were going up there for a marathon weekend. So we definitely weren't going to have like a 3-day bender. Mm. But on the first night, we were definitely planning on going out, you know, testing out my red nail theory, seeing if I can get any men to pay attention to me based off of just how my nails look. And we went to this
We went to Adams Morgan, which kind of reminded me of Nashville. If you've ever been to Nashville on Broadway, there's just a street of old-timey buildings that have been converted into bars, and each level is like a different type of bar. So we went to one bar called Madam's Organ, which is a fun play on words.
That's a legendary place in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, if I had gotten drunk enough and you had told me, oh, Abby, you're in Nashville, would have 100% believed it. There was a band on the first floor, then you go up to the second floor and it's a little bit more mingly, and then you get to the third floor and it's like a club. And so me and my mom went up there and had a really great time, had a couple of franjas, which is cheap white wine from a box, which was made for a really interesting night. Went out that day.
Did you call them franjas?
Yeah, franjas.
That's Franzia.
Franzia, yeah. I used to call it Tour de Franzia in college. I would get the rosé, the white wine, and the red wine. I would see how many I could drink in one night.
I literally thought I just jumped realities. I was like, has it been Franja my whole life? It sounded so fancy. And I'm like, wait, did she mean Franzia? Yeah.
It's like calling Target Target.
I'm calling it Franja from now on.
It literally is wine in a box, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it comes in a bag. It's delicious. We bopped around D.C. on Saturday, and then Sunday was the Marine Corps Marathon, which is incredibly moving. The way that this marathon is different is that when you run the marathon, when you get that little sign that you tape on to yourself when you go running with your number on it, on the back of it is the name of a Marine Corps member that has passed away. And literally as my mom is checking in, the woman who was working the counter was like, oh, I knew this man. That's my friend's father. He passed away in Afghanistan or something. And so you're running in honor of that guy.
That's incredible.
And so when you get to mile 12, you're running this marathon. And then they have all photos of them lined up on the side. So my mom stopped on mile 12 and like took a photo of him. And it's a picture of him with his kids. It was
that's fire.
Incredible. So I had a great weekend.
That's a way to keep you motivated and to run all those miles for sure.
And she needed it.
I thought Mo, it was supposed to be a quiet weekend.
Yes, it was very quiet.
Was it?
It was.
You didn't fly anywhere crazy?
I did not.
Okay.
I did absolutely nothing. And it was glorious. I had some friends over for the fight on Saturday. Watch football Sunday. It's the first weekend, and I don't know how long that I did nothing. And I wish I did that more often.
That
it was incredible.
Glorious.
It was incredible.
Really sounds glorious. And you?
It was just a family-focused weekend. It was Jimmy Palooza. So Saturday, we went to a Touch a Truck event. So, and it was consensual.
the truck consented?
Yes, we made sure to ask every truck if we could touch it. So you had SWAT cars, you had fire trucks, you had police cars, you had an ambulance, you had excavators, you had skid steers, you had a garbage truck, and all the kids. Because for some reason, young kids are fascinated with trucks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And then Saturday, we went to the botanical gardens and saw pumpkin displays and scarecrows. And then we also finally went and got Jimmy's pumpkins so we can carve it before Halloween come and goes. And FYI, if you procrastinate and wait to the last minute, pumpkins are buy one, get one free. And Mama racked up on her Thanksgiving pumpkins.
That's a fun weekend.
It was.
All right, so our producer, Messy Mikey, in studio, got recognized, and all you got to do is represent this show. Well, we talk about it quite a bit, you know? When you're out there, you're still representing the show.
Oh, yeah, and I did a bad job of it. Yeah, I wish I was like Mo. I wish I did nothing. Instead, I decided to go out and lose my debit card, which I seriously can't keep track of anything. It doesn't matter what kind of state of mind I'm in. I'm going to forget something.
Is it one of those deals where you go to the bar and you have to hand over your car and they hold it and you're supposed to check out at the end of the night and you just forgot?
No, I went to dinner. I was just a normal guy at dinner forgetting my card. I'd tell you, if my head wasn't attached to my body, I'd forget that. Sorry, I had to.
How many times have your parents said that to you?
So I lose my debit card. I go there that night and I say, do you have it? They don't have it. I wake up in the morning, no shower, no food. I had done my laundry with a roll of toilet paper, so I looked like I just stepped out of a snow globe. I was just covered in just tiny bits of toilet paper. So I'm just investigating. I'm walking all over town. Also, my lady lost her wallet. So we got two things on the loose.
Oh, it's meant to be.
Yeah, it's meant to be. We're both just mess. But, so we're walking around investigating, asking witnesses, what happened? Where are we? So I'm walking down the street just looking like a wreck. And then I hear my name. Some guy I know calls out my name. He's with his family. And his family says, oh, we're huge fans of the Burt Show, intern Mikey, everything. And geez, did I completely ruin this interaction. I was so wrapped up in this card thing. This caught me completely by surprise. I said, oh, yeah, me too. And then I just mumbled something like, I lost my card. Just like they're trying to have a conversation about the Burt Show. And I just say, I lost my card. And I'm just trying to like figure out a way out of this interaction. They were so nice. It was this guy's mom and his whole family. They were very nice. And did they probably regret bringing that up to me?
No, I think it's right on brand for you.
Just like, embrace it. And then when you said, we're big fans of the Burt Show, did you say me too?
I said me too.
Okay.
What am I supposed to say? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
He's
fair.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a fan too.
It's like when you're at the desk and the person working at the airport says, have a nice flight. And you're like, you too.
And then you just punch yourself in the head.
Yeah, I think because you are you and you tell these stories every time, like, I don't think that's, I don't think you represented the show in a bad light at all. I think it's consistent.
Yeah, but you don't want to be like that, do you?
Or no,
do you?
I want to shuck and jive and be like, oh, thank you. You want an autograph picture? But,
definitely go that way.
But instead, I'm like, I lost my card. And I go scampering off. But,
did you find the car?
Conclusion, miraculously, by the way, the stakes were high. This is a Sunday. I got to get home to be able to be on here on Monday.
Yeah.
I need my card. I don't have a credit card. I don't know how those work. Miraculously, the restaurant had my card.
Beautiful.
They lied to me the night before.
Oh, they lied to you? Said
well, they might have just not seen it. But yes, they had it in the morning. I got my card. All is well. I just lost my pride is the only thing I lost.
Didn't I pull up in the elevator with you last week and you had another night where you lost a whole bunch of different things?
I lose stuff
night?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at it, but usually they don't come back to me. And so I'm on top of the world.
Did your lady find her wallet?
She found her wallet.
Really?
And two strikes of good luck.
Well, this is all because you ran into those lovely Burt Show listeners.
Yep. Good people, good folks.
Do you want to apologize to them for not giving them the true Mikey?
Yes, I apologize. You caught me in the middle of a story. And I was a wreck.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Well, this was certainly shocking news to get this weekend. Friend star Matthew Perry was found dead in his hot tub at the age of 54.
So young.
I know so many people were affected by this because it kind of feels like we've all lost somebody that we all know because Friends was such a massive show. Mm-hmm. So authorities reportedly found him unresponsive about around 4 p.m., they're speculating that it's due to cardiac arrest, although there's not an official cause of death out yet. And there were no signs of foul play and there were no drugs nearby in his house, which a lot of people were speculating about. I got a lot of DMs of people talking about his addiction to drugs and alcohol. And so they thought maybe that could be a cause. But it kind of seems like they're alluding to the fact that that possibly wasn't one of the causes in all the news stories that I've read. I know he's been very open about that struggle. So a lot of people, I think, are very heartbroken from that standpoint anyway. But I was really heartbroken to find out that his parents are still alive, too. I mean, there's no pain like losing a child before you've passed. And I just know that this death is affecting a lot of people this week.
Yeah, he struggled with addiction most of his life. In fact, I think he had a book that came out not that long ago where he talks about this. Look, most 54-year-olds just don't pass away in a hot tub. And even if there aren't drugs next to the hot tub, there are plenty of prescription drugs in the house. So who knows what we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks. But either way, it's tragic. 54 years old.
Well, from what I understood, and like after they did the Friends reunion, which was a huge deal not that long ago, and he did have the book come out and detailed like when he got prescribed Vicodin, and then he was like, oh, I love the way this makes me feel, and then he became addicted to it. And we saw the addiction on when you watched Friends because he got so thin. And also, you know, his addiction to alcohol. So from what I've read, he had gotten himself clean and was doing better, but that does damage to your body when you abuse a substance for so long. It maybe it just weakened his heart and he did have a heart attack in the hot tub. And we're just going to, like, that's all speculation. We're just going to have to wait and see because it's still an open investigation into his death.
And I know with some of these pain meds also, because I've told you guys before, my ex-wife was hooked on them for quite a while. you're not allowed to take them one more time after that. It becomes exponentially dangerous if you try it once or twice again. So, right, you said this is all speculation at this point. We won't know anything for days, but either way, it's at the end of the day, it's a really sad story.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, it can affect your body in so many harmful ways, but it's also interesting to see how substances can affect people differently just based off their genetics. I mean, last week we talked about Tommy Lee, who's been through the same thing. He said he did a full body scan and all the doctors say he's normal. So it also just also comes down to, you know, your genetics and how it affects that too.
Like, I think like a majority of people, when I say I gasped. Like, I woke up because I went to bed early Saturday night and that's when the news had broke. And I woke up Sunday and I grabbed my phone and that's like, I opened Instagram and that is the first thing that popped up and I couldn't believe it.
I had a different response and I hope this doesn't sound crappy. Yeah, it was shocking, but I wasn't shocked.
Oh man, I was.
No.
I was shocked.
It seemed like he was doing so good and he had just gotten his stuff together.
My brother texted us and we thought it was, not that it was a joke, but we were like, where are you getting this information from? So then we immediately got on the internet and saw that it was real, which was very shocking for us. Okay, somebody who's been having a couple of hard weeks is Justin Timberlake, and Lance Bass wants us to take it a little bit easier on him. Somebody came up to Lance Bass in one of like those impromptu, iPhone interviews, and Lance Bass had this to say about the fans that are not being so forgiving of what Britney Spears is describing in her new memoir, The Woman in Me.
Everyone has their own opinion. I just feel like the world is so full of hate right now that we need to practice a little forgiveness. Britney did. So let's take a note from her. Look, everyone deserves to tell their story. She did. And, you know, I hope the fans can, again, find some forgiveness.
Oh, Justin is having a tough couple of weeks. Cry me a river.
Well played.
Thank you. That was good. I love the pun.
So I know he's like, there are plenty of people that are really trying to cancel him right now. He's 42 years old, and all this stuff happened when he was 17, 18, and 19 years old, right?
How old were they?
19 and 20.
Okay, yeah. 19 and 20. Yeah. I'm glad that there is nobody writing a book about me in my 20s because it would be ugly as well. You're just such a different person. I mean, you did what you did, that's for sure. But man, he is taking heat. I think one of you guys told me he turned his comments off on Instagram because they were so nasty.
Yeah, he turned his comments off. And I do agree, like, you know, obviously you're a very different person at 19 than you are in your 40s. God, I hope to God. Odd that you are. But I mean, you still have to have some accountability for what you did. And I think until you read the book, Bert, and hear what he actually did, you're going to have to reserve judgment on Britney's stans coming after him. I'm going to read the book. My friends who have read the book are like, it's worse than you can imagine.
Yeah, it's not just if it were just he cheated on her quite a few times, I'd be like, well, people are young and dumb and that happens and we can move past it. For me, it's more slandering her name and what happened after it so that he could capitalize on the fame and sell Justified when he was 21.
I see.
And so it goes beyond, and he's still young. Like, I would still give him that. Mm-hmm. He had an entire team around him who got in on that. So who knows? Maybe they pushed him to do it and I could give him the benefit of the doubt. But still, there was this woman he loved. They lived together. She became pregnant with his child, and then he smeared her name to the point where entire stadiums were booing her just for attending a basketball game. So that's the part that's icky to me. And then when they're like, oh, can everyone just grow up and move on? No, we cannot.
Celebs are taking time out of their own shows to honor Matthew Perry after his passing. I'll share some clips with you on your next eBuzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
You guys have a food or a place that once it's in your head, you must go, you must have it or your life cannot go on?
Yeah. My go-to Mexican joint. Like if I'm craving Mexican food, I have to get the enchiladas verdes.
It must be done.
It must be done.
For me, it's P.F. Chang's Mongolian beef.
I love P.F. Chang's.
Once it's in my head, man, that's it. There are no other restaurants anywhere in the city. For you guys?
Popeyes. Have no shame about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I'm walking down the aisle of a Publix and there's a buy one, get one free dessert of any kind, I must have it.
Of any kind.
If it just says buy one, get one free, that to me is the universe's way of saying you need this in your life. And usually it has to do with ice cream.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself, girl.
Yeah, for a couple of firefighters, there's this Chick-fil-A. And It doesn't matter how hungry you are or if you're working.
Did you say hungry?
Hungry.
You are. I mean, hungry.
Doesn't matter if you're hungry or not.
Have you been talking to my 2-year-old lately?
These guys decided that they needed Chick-fil-A and they needed it badly, even on the way on a 911 call when a woman was suffering from chest pains.
A D.C. firefighter who, along with his partner, stopped for fast food while on a call was fired. Back in March, the two firefighter EMTs stopped at a Chick-fil-A in Northwest D.C. instead of responding to a call for a woman suffering from chest pains.
Listen, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Chick-fil-A does have the fastest drive-thru.
It is.
They've been crowded sometime, though. But their excuse was they had already ordered it.
They'd already ordered it, man. How long can this take? We'll get in and we'll get out.
So they were already in line. It's not like they got the call and then got in line. They were already in line. They just opted not to get out of line to go, like, go to the call.
I don't know. I think they probably wazed it and said, where's the quickest Chick-fil-A?
Oh, my God.
On the way.
As somebody who was in D.C. this weekend, I'm thrilled that my mom did not go into cardiac arrest.
Right? Yeah, let's talk about this because you were going into the weekend. TikTok gave you this idea that, look, if you want a subliminal power over men, there's one way to do it, and it's just so easy. So execute.
Yeah, the For You page, I swear, can read your mind. And I think it knew I was getting a little desperate. I was getting a little starved for male attention. And so when me and my mom made plans to go to D.C. this weekend, I could not strike out. I was going to D.C. and I was going to get hit on by a man. So as I'm scrolling through the For You page, Mo's over here giggling.
I'm listening.
Abby lost her groove and she needed to get it back.
Needed the groove back. And so my For You page, reading my mind, showed me a theory that had gone viral a while back and it resurfaced a little bit on my For You page. It's from an account called Girl Boss Town. She calls this the red nail theory.
I know guys are attracted to red nails, and I'll tell you why. It's called the red nails theory. I feel like tanks are SFK, but hear me out. Every time I have red nails, every single time a guy comments on it, it'll be like in the side of a FaceTime like this, and it'll be like, oh, I like your nail color. And I always thought red nails was like a grandma nail color. I was like, why the is he liking red nails? And then it hit me. In the 90s, when we were growing up, women had red nails a lot, especially like our moms. And I weirdly think guys are attracted to red nails because it reminds them of their moms when they were growing up taking care of them.
So this turned into a trend because not only did she announce the theory to the world, to the For You page, people were in the comments. People were stitching this saying, oh my gosh, when I met my boyfriend, I was wearing red nail polish. Last time I had the best night out at the bars, I was wearing red nail polish. So I was like, there's got to be something to it. And listen, I got nothing to lose, so I might as well go to CVS and get a $5 bottle of nail polish in the hopes that it's going to up my chances. And I got to be honest with you, I really thought I was going to go out and have to embellish something. But I got so much action this weekend.
It worked.
But I'm wondering if maybe there was something else I did that turned this thing into overdrive. Because, of course, I was there with my mom and I was wearing red nail polish.
Were you also wearing clothes?
I was also wearing clothes.
Okay.
Minimal clothes, but I was wearing clothes. But my mom was also there wearing red nail polish. And I'm wondering if I hacked the system a little bit with like a cheat code, like XX, up, down, up, down, and their little worm brains by having my mom there with red nail polish and me with red nail polish. Because the whole theory is supposed to harken back to their childhood and remind them of their moms.
So I have a theory. Let me just run it by you. Is it possible you just were acting differently because you had the confidence of the red nails thinking it was going to work? So you subliminally kind of tweaked and had more of an attitude, which guys might have been attracted to.
Let me tell you why. So Saturday, we were having a very low-key day. We weren't going out. We weren't hopping around bars. We went to like the early bird special because my mom had to run a marathon the next day on Saturday night. So we're at this restaurant, which is sort of like DC's version of the Cheesecake Factory, just sort of like a very normal restaurant. And I'm sitting there next to my mom at a booth and we're eating breadsticks or whatever. And there's a table it's like diagonally to my left. So it's in front of me to the left. And there's a young man there sitting there with his back to me. And I swear probably about
25 different times during that dinner. This man turned his entire body around to make eye contact with me. And do I think it was the red nail theory? I think it definitely had something to do with it, because why else would you spend your entire dinner with your head on a swivel? Unless he was just really into my mom. Maybe that could have been it too.
I just think your attitude can change. I mean, it's why some dudes go out and they get these really expensive shoes or suits, because it just changes your attitude. We've had Burt Show listeners on here also saying if they're going into a big meeting, sometimes they'll put like their sexy lingerie on underneath their business suits and stuff, because it just gives them a different confidence.
Kind of like guys with a haircut. I feel like that happens to me and my friends a lot. Like, you just, it's something about you get a fresh haircut and you do have a different aura or a different vibe about yourself. And I feel like you probably will have more women attracted to you on that day.
For me, it's heels.
Heels.
Yeah, I'm more confident when I'm wearing heels.
Oh. Well, keep you at that red nail polish on. So working. Keep going. Okay.
Well, you said you got action. Did you get numbers?
I did get some numbers, and I did dance with some fellas, which has been a hot second. So I got my game back.
Nice.
What happens now? You can never change your nails again?
Yeah, it's red nails from here on out.
All right, let's get some closure from over the weekend, because on Friday, she was thinking about busting the hubby who was going behind her back to buy a big ticket item and didn't run it by her.
So, yeah, they've been married for 5 years, and they do have separate accounts, but they also have a joint account, which they use for all of their expenses, such as rent, utilities, and groceries. But that's the accounts that they have separately, they've kind of always maintained as their personal expenses and discretionary spending. However, she just found out that a part of that is her husband planning on buying a truck behind her back, and he had no plans of letting her know about it until it was actually on the driveway. And she felt like for any financial decisions that are that big, that she should be involved in and he should be involved in case one of them ever were to lose a job or something like that were to happen, she felt like they would both use their finances to help make sure that each other were good in the future. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to reach out to couples and ask, even if you do have your own personal accounts, should you talk to your significant other when you're making purchases such as big as a truck?
I want to get our show schedule Tommy on here, because he's been married how many years?
My show schedule.
A show director. Yeah, that's
27.
Go,
27
go War Eagle. Still feeling that. War damn Eagle. That's War damn right. Hungover.
I was giving you a hard time. I've been married 27 years. Bro.
27 years.
Yes.
Okay, so explain to those in this very, very successful relationship and marriage how you guys handle that finances.
Well, I would never go buy a truck on my own. That's number one.
Oh, you guys both just got new vehicles, didn't you?
Well, no, she got a new vehicle that I've driven 99.9% of the time since she bought it. But I'm getting one in the spring. Mine comes out then, and we both no going in what we're doing, because we do it together. I've had situations, my stepbrother and his first wife, note I said first wife.
Yeah, we got that.
Had separate accounts. Mm-hmm. And she would go to the club and leave him at home. And that would never happen in my relationship.
But money wise, is there a limit that you guys have like agreed to, that if you're gonna spend more than $250, you're gonna run it by each other?
I think we run everything by each other.
Everything.
Yeah.
Every time you go down to the break room and get a honey bun, you run that by Renee?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about bigger purchase items. I'd say anything that at hundreds of dollars.
So you're going to buy tickets to a game, $500. You're running that by her.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So here is the update from our listeners. I want to sincerely thank you guys for taking the time to read my email and offer your opinions. Always feels good to have your thoughts validated. So I'm glad to know that you all agree that large purchases should be mutually agreed upon, even if you keep separate accounts. Unfortunately, he didn't seem to care about what y'all thought. It didn't change his mind at all. In fact, he was angry that I was involved strangers on the radio in our personal financial matters.
We are not strangers.
We are not.
Mm-mm. I'm offended.
Even though we have never met. We are not strangers.
I apologize to him for that. He was probably right. Was he?
No.
I probably should have discussed our personal financial issues with anyone else, especially so publicly. Like, nobody knows who you are. You're good. However, it is hard to feel bad for my action when he immediately left our conversation and headed to the car dealership. Okay, see, I see what's going on here. Despite knowing exactly how I felt about it, he bought the truck anyway. Not only did he buy the truck, but he also added a bunch of upgrades that added thousands more to the price. Livid does not even begin to describe how I feel. Unfortunately, there is nothing I can do but just be angry. So I kind of feel like the dude used the excuse that she talked to us about it to fire himself up a little bit more and go ahead and go above and beyond and get even the upgrade on the truck.
Sorry.
There's a bit of a childish reaction, but he certainly wanted them upgrades long before she came to the show for advice.
Yeah, he's just using it as the lightning rod to justify what he wanted to do all along. Yeah. And while I do think there is nothing you can do currently to be angry, you could go down to the courthouse and, you know, divorce his ass, but that's just my opinion.
Well, we can fight fire with fire. She has her own account.
Right?
She needs to go out and buy something real expensive.
Sounds like the mature thing to do.
Buy a boat. Uh-huh. Get a boat.
How do you think my relationship has survived for 17 years? Thank you very much.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
So just because it's offered doesn't mean, dudes, that you gotta use it. Some of you gotta take a look at yourself and go, maybe I just don't have the personality to pull this off. And let your words do the talking.
Yeah, these voice prompts are getting out of hand, which is why we have this segment I've been calling Unhinged, where I go on Hinge and I find these voice replies that men, specifically men, because those are usually where the funny ones are, they have used to answer some of the prompts in their profiles. So if you've never been on a dating app before, you get to put a couple of photos on so people can be shallow and judge you on how you look, but also we want to be able to judge you on your personality as well. So Hinge or Bumble or whatever dating app that you're on will ask you a question. And you can either choose to respond by typing out your answer, or you can use the voice feature. And sometimes these guys just get a little too creative with their replies. So with this specific segment, I have two sets of guys that I'm going to be sharing with you. Because at first I thought, okay, I'm going to DC this weekend. I need to show off what's going on in Capitol Hill. What kind of losers are up there looking for love? But I cannot begin to describe how many times I have been sent this one TikTok over and over again about men in their 60s and 70s using the voice prompts on Hinge. And I thought for a second,
I'm just impressed they figured it out.
Could even download Hinge. Yeah.
Well, some of them couldn't figure it out, but I thought that wouldn't be very interesting to share, just like the But I got sent this one TikTok where it was a couple of voice prompts that had gotten shared from this one account. And so I thought, why share that one when it seems like all of the Burt Show fam has already heard it?
So maybe it's this resurgent of like the Golden Bachelor. Now, older dudes are like, hey, okay, I can get in on this game too.
Yeah, so this is sort of like the Golden Bachelor of Hinge. So I went to the same account where that first video had come from. It was from a user called a.rose95 on TikTok. She had shared the original video that went viral, and then she proceeded to make it a series where there were plenty of other men where she had found their voice prompts. So this first one just shows that some of these guys are trying to keep up with the slang.
My nieces and nephews are starting to have kids, and And I told them that being called great uncle makes me feel too old. So I suggested Gunkle for short, but then found out that's actually short for gay uncle, which isn't what I was going for. So here are the options I gave him. Grunkle for short, greatest uncle, or my personal favorite, Hunkle, which is short for heterosexual uncle. What do you think?
Okay, it's cute.
Yeah.
It's better than the young dudes we've been hearing from.
That's true.
I can get on board with Hunkle, but some of these guys, you know, Hunkle. They're not trying hard to keep up with the slang. They are really actually more ready for retirement.
Don't hate me if I don't work as hard as you. I just don't. I'm done. I've done that. I'm not doing that anymore.
He had the Beatles playing in the background.
Is that what that was? I was trying to figure out what it was.
So is this part of one montage where they've put the music in themselves? Okay, so it's not these dudes trying to figure that out.
No. So he must have had the Beatles on in his voice prompt, and then A.Rose95 has this do in the background.
The first dude didn't put that on himself?
No.
I was giving him credit for that.
So was I.
No. Well, get ready to hear it again, because I think the dementia may be setting in early for some of these guys.
I'm convinced that starting a conversation and just seeing how it flows is a really cool way to start a new conversation.
What?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't really make sense. It reminds me of when my ADD kicks in, where I'm just like, where am I going with this?
Didn't you know starting a conversation is a great way to start a conversation?
Okay. He's not wrong.
Wisdom.
Okay.
They've cracked the code. And just because they're getting up there in age doesn't mean they don't still got it behind closed doors.
Dating me is like a roller coaster, full of thrills and surprises, and you always get off in the end.
Oh! Puppy!
Okay, Gramps.
That was kind of shocking. Play that again. Play that one more time.
Dating me is like a roller coaster, full of thrills and surprises, and you always get off in the end.
Okay.
My man.
Puppy.
Grandpa's got game. And above all else, at least they have perspective about the stage of life that they're in.
Every day above ground is a good day.
Which I feel like just hits different at 70.
That's it.
Man, I stole that from everybody else in the store.
Oh, dude, my dad's favorite line was, "Hey, good to see you." And he'd be like, "Better than being viewed."
That's a better unhinged line right there.
Okay, so now we're transitioning into the guys from D.C. And I'll be honest, I thought D.C. would be filled with a bunch of Georgetown brainiacs. And turns out there's goobers up there, too.
A fact about me that surprises people is that I don't know how to whistle. Yep, it mainly just sounds like. Oh, and I also don't drink coffee.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Is that how I sound when I try to whistle?
No. You don't.
Okay. Thank y'all.
And if their East Coast trust fund runs out, they're going to need a retirement plan as a backup.
I'm weirdly attracted to tall, sturdy women. I guess it's the idea of having a child that could be the future heavyweight champion of the world, or a future NFL player that will pay for our retirement.
A tall, sturdy woman.
Okay.
I like that.
I've never heard anybody put it that
feels
way.
Like from like Wisconsin
stock. I want to be able to climb her like a tree. Gotta have those thunder thighs.
Now, this is definitely more of what I expected when I was thinking about what I would be listening to on DC Hinge. This sounds about right as somebody who would live in Washington, D.C.
Instead of grabbing drinks, let's go take classes and learn U.S. tax code. Now we know how to do our taxes, we can actually commit tax fraud and not get audited. We're just funneling in money now. Maybe we just buy a boat. We have access to international waters. Maybe we go to Bolivia and run drugs for a while. And then we raise more money than Pablo Escobar ever did and give it away to children.
Right, he's ambitious. He has a plan.
I mean, yeah, you got to give it to him for his plan.
Likes to live life big. That's a catch right there.
Live life to the fullest. Uh-huh. And hey, you'll probably be rich if you do tax fraud well enough. And it's no wonder why these nerds are still out here looking for love, because sometimes they get a little too descriptive when it comes to their ideal superpower.
Someone recently asked me what superpower I would have, and I immediately always jumped to either teleportation or time travel. But you have to be careful if your teleportation and time travel is not both paradox correcting and geo-coordinate correcting because of how fast the Earth moves through space. Yeah. If you teleported somewhere and you didn't have it correct for where the Earth would be at the time that you teleport.
Teleportation would have done my guy.
I like this guy, actually, because there's going to be a woman that listens to that and goes, I understand exactly what he's talking about.
I was intrigued, I'm not going to lie, and I would absolutely go on a date. And here's why. Even if you're not interested in that subject, you know this guy has, like, fun, unhinged theories that he will just talk to you about, so it would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, see, I would fall asleep at the dinner table. I'm like, let's just giggle. My last one is definitely more of a funny one, because at the very least, these guys in D.C. have a sense of humor.
I can do a great Harry Potter. Hey, yo, Hermione, get over here before I Wingardium Leviosa your ass.
So he's bad at impressions, but he does love Harry Potter, which is a bonus in my book.
It wasn't good. I'm so...
No. Okay. That should give some of you guys, like, great confidence to get on those things.
Yeah.
I can't get any worse than that.
Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, sticking with dating apps. Katie.
I'm struggling, just like those men. It's a battle that I've been going back and forth, and I haven't been on dating apps in over a year, because my habit was I would get on dating apps, find something, go out with someone, maybe not work, and then go back and forth and just get bored and then delete the app, re-download the app. And so I took a break for over a year, and that's the longest time I haven't been on an actual dating app.
Congratulations, a whole year.
You made it longer than I did.
What does that feel like, Abby?
I lasted like 2 weeks. I'm over here just learning from you.
But you'll get to that point where you'll probably get fed up with it and you just say, you know, hell with it.
Yep.
And so I started to get a little lonely again. And then I was like, Katie, it's time to download the dating apps. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is a little bit harder when I do go out in public, because I don't know. When I see a woman, I'm like, does she like women? Right. Does she not like women? And it's only like one gay bar around the city that we live in for women. So it's already hard. So at least on an app, I know she likes women.
It takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah. So I re-downloaded the apps, and I've been back on it for a couple weeks now, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only had one match.
One? Mm. You're a catch.
Wow. One match. So then I started to think about it. It has to be something that I'm doing wrong.
Not representing yourself well.
It's something with my profile, and I think it's because I haven't done it in a minute. It's weird trying to put myself back out there, and what prompts do I answer? What pictures do I post? Like, how do I make my profile?
Pull up your profile right now.
Okay.
Because we got to see some of these photos. So you literally have only had one match. Mm-hmm. So you're swiping on people, whatever, or liking people, and only one other person has liked you in return?
Yes.
Oh, is it because you're new and it takes time for it to actually, like, register to the other people that you're on the app now?
I mean, it probably could be. I don't know.
Abby, is that correct?
I have no clue.
Does that sound about right?
That's not a thing, Abby.
But I've given Kristen my phone. She is now looking at my profile that I have set up.
All right, so the first picture says, as seen on my mom's fridge, and it's a photo of Katie in a suit when she was in a wedding. And it's a nice photo.
That's the profile picture?
Yeah, that's the main
the first picture, yeah.
It doesn't, your first picture, I don't feel, should be a full body picture. I feel like it should be a close up of your face.
Yeah, a pic of you smiling would be best case scenario.
Okay.
Why did you pick that one particular picture?
I really like that picture. I was that's a good picture of me.
It's a great picture, but it needs to be like second or third.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to do like one of the photo shoot photos or whatever that we have. Like your face, I mean, you're the whole package. You're a stunning individual. Put that right there.
When you're posting a picture on there, though, does it represent you better if it's not like what you're talking about is a professional picture being done? Wouldn't you rather see something a little bit more authentic than that?
It's a dating app. We're shallow here.
Okay. Best face forward, baby.
Okay.
I don't know. I have friends who put some of their, not the worst, not ones where you're like, looking stupid, but ones where they don't look their best so that when they meet the person in person, nobody is feeling catfished, and it's actually an upgrade from the photos.
I think women never believe this when dudes say this to them. Like, for a lot, most guys, less makeup is more. So
you all say that's not true.
It is true.
It's been true in my experience for sure.
It is true.
I don't know why women don't believe that.
Because we did it. We did a study on the show, and we did absolutely no makeup. We did like typical makeup, and then we did full glam. Not one single dude liked the picture with no makeup. Thought we looked rancid.
Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't say no makeup. I said less is more.
Okay.
I must hang out with different men. I don't know. Most of the guys I know, they really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next thing you have is a response to a prompt. I know the best spot in town for, and Katie wrote, tacos, and I bet it's not a place you've been to.
Oh!
I mean, it's a challenge, right?
It's sexy.
Was it? Was it?
I don't think she's talking about. She's not. Yeah, she ain't talking about, you know, Taco Bell.
No, I was. What do you mean? I was talking about a restaurant.
I thought you were talking about.
What is going on?
You guys are making it all sexual because she's a lesbian.
Yeah. I thought it was tacos.
The pink taco.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm at a real restaurant. We're a real Mexican.
I was thinking regular tacos also. Yeah, nasty.
I was too.
This might be part of the reason because it depends what you're on the app for, but if I'm swiping and I want someone to date, I think you're all about that immediately. I'm not interested.
Yep. So the three women on the show thought you were talking about pink tacos.
They
would be projecting, though. That's not on you. That's on them for thinking that it's tacos. That's not on them.
We'll find out.
Yes.
Why don't you change that one thing today and see if it changes it? Because they might be onto something.
Okay.
I feel like any food you put is going to be.
You can put Mexican food.
Okay, Mexican food. Okay, all right. That may work. I was not thinking that at all.
Dude.
Forgot that was in
that
the
might
background.
Be another problem.
Take that off.
I just need to reconstruct this whole profile from scratch.
You have so much swag in real life. Like, what happened?
I don't know.
Okay. We listened to two of three things you put up, and
there's
two
no
of them
confidence on this profile at all.
She has a great photo, no caption whatsoever. You got to write something.
Okay.
Be interesting.
I don't know how, clearly.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It's been a really tough couple of days for people ever since they found out Friends star Matthew Perry passed away. I mean, I was absolutely shocked when I got this news. He was found dead in his hot tub. He was only 54 years old. It's being speculated that this was possibly due to cardiac arrest, but there's no official cause of death right now. No signs of foul play or drugs were close by. So right now we have very little information, but this has really been affecting people. And a bunch of celebrities have already even started coming out and talking about what Matthew's character Chandler Bing meant to them. Adele is one of them. So at one of her shows, she was talking about how shocking the news was for her, how it affected her so deeply because she feels kind of strange about it. She's like, I didn't know this guy, but I feel like I did. And she really felt connected to his character from old memories with her old friends.
Some of my favorite memories of when I was younger with my friends. And one of my friends, Andrew, when I was like 12, did the best Chandler impression. And he would do it all the time to make us laugh. And if any of us were having a bad day or feeling low, he would just pretend to be Chandler. And I remember that character for the rest of my life.
I know, I got so many DMs this weekend where people were like, can I be any more sad? Calling back to one of his iconic lines. But Charlie Puth also played a little bit of the Friends theme song to honor Matthew. And this is incredibly touching. The entire time I was listening to this clip, I couldn't help but think how loved Matthew would feel if he could see this happening. Just really sad to see this all happen. Mm-hmm. On a much, much, much lighter note, Kim Kardashian has released what might be the most ridiculous celeb product of all time.
Is this real, or is this a like spoof?
This is true. She's calling this the ultimate nipple bra.
That's not real.
That's a real thing.
She's joking.
No,
right?
It is. This was an episode on Sex and the City back in the day where somebody got fake nipples and put them underneath their shirt so you would have exposed nipples. And Cynthia had put them on, walked across the bar because apparently, like, hard nipples is attractive for some men. So this is not new. This is something that's been around. But I'm like, and I'm all about hashtag free the nipple. I just don't think it needs to be a synthetic one. You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm living in the movie Idiocracy. And if you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. But it's just, she's worth $1.7 billion. And she's sitting there talking about climate change or whatever. And her solution, I know it's a play. I know it's a joke. But, like, literally look at the state of the earth and everything going on it. You're a billionaire, literal billionaire. And you're like, look, guys, I'm releasing fake nipples. And it just seems so absurd. I can't help but think that God is up there just laughing. Like, this is just like to keep him entertained, and no. He loves it.
I don't think she's an agent for God.
Okay. Lucifer's down there laughing then.
But this is why she's a billionaire. She has products like this where Kim Kardashian wears them. She makes it look good because she has hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of plastic surgery to make her body mm-hmm. look like that. And so girls like me see that and be like, well, I guess that's what cool people wear. So now I'm going to buy a nipple bra. Because I do think that's a little bit of a trend for girls who don't wear undergarments, like to have like a skin tight shirt on and have things peeking through. Now this is making it more equal for the girls who have the larger chests out there. Now you can throw on your support and still look like you got those cute little perky situations.
I am curious, Bert and Mo, uh-huh. What would you do if one of the women on the show came in wearing one of these and we had hard nips in studio for the entire show?
We wouldn't even look at you.
I wouldn't do anything. It would be a non-factor.
Mo and I would be looking at it going like, just giving each other like the head nod.
The signal.
Like,
you see what I see?
You shoot it.
Okay.
How does Matthew Perry want to be remembered? Well, it's got nothing to do with friends. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Bert Show.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Mo was saying on Friday he would understand this request a little bit more if we're just talking about a party.
Yeah, if we have to go to a party together, I'm not the guy that's going to police what a woman wears, but I do understand how men find it a little uncomfortable to have to go to certain environments with your lady and have to deal with the guys that are going to be drunk with the eyes and doing a lot of things that I don't think women always notice. So that I would understand a little bit. But as far as her going to work, no, I don't get that one at all.
Yeah, so the concern really isn't what she's wearing. It's the concern about it's the fear that some dude is going to get drunk and is going to say something stupid or touch her. And you just have to have your head on a swivel if you're a guy on Halloween sometimes. But that wasn't the case here. The case here with Michelle was she's a bartender and she's been going out with a dude for a couple of months. And for whatever reason, this dude decides to tell her, like, can you tone down your costume a little bit? She's basically like, that's my tip night. Halloween, you're going to make a lot of tips that night. So she was thinking going into the weekend, should I just dig in here or should I placate this guy? Hey, Michelle.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. How did it go this weekend?
You know, I was nervous last week that I wouldn't I wouldn't have anything to say or anything, but I don't know if I jinxed myself or what. So this weekend, I mean, I work all the time. I mean, I don't know, maybe 6 days a week, but I definitely had to work this weekend. And who's not going to? We had a big Halloween bash at where I work. So even though it wasn't Halloween Friday and Saturday, I still was able to dress up. And so like I kind of did, since what we were talking about was Halloween, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear my costume just a little bit ahead of the game here, and I'm going to wear it for the weekend for all of our Halloween stuff, for like Halloween contests and costume contests and mm-hmm. stuff. So I went as the Hamburglar, and
was it sexy Hamburglar?
It was like my black leather pants, mm-hmm. and they've got some like holes in them, and then I've got like a white and black top. It's kind of like a tube top with like the suspenders and the gloves and the little eye thing. I mean, it's not super revealing, but it's kind of tight.
Okay.
I could ride public transit and be just
Southwest Airlines is not going to kick you off a flight. Okay.
Right. But I mean, I think me and everybody I worked with, okay, the best weekend. Like as far as tips go, I don't know if it was the outfit or not. I don't know. But best weekend ever with tips, both Friday and Saturday, really. So I'm going to say it wasn't a coincidence. And because I wore my outfit both Friday and Saturday, maybe it was the outfit, maybe it wasn't. But John came in the second night and was like, what the F? What the F? I thought we talked about this. And like, I'm sorry. That's totally how it sounded to me. And I just was like, what's the problem? Like, what is the big deal? And you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you get over it. Let me buy you a drink for all of your pities because I've got extra money now.
Right.
And I basically told him, like, come Halloween, I'm totally going to wear my costume because it seems to make a big difference. And if he's that upset about it, like, we can go on an extra date. And he was like, you know what? You're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. You're not respecting me. I feel like you're not respecting me, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't pay my bills. He's not my sugar daddy.
Right.
So yeah, so that's what happened. It hasn't even, you know, it's not even Halloween yet.
So you guys just got in a massive fight about it. You haven't broken up about this, just a big old, all this tension.
Right. It's like sitting there. My girlfriend was like, it's totally the lunar eclipse. And like, this is supposed to happen. You're supposed to be like breaking off toxic ties. And I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I mean, we've only been together a few months. And if you're too insecure to help support me, you know, I'm not out there. This is not like Coyote Ugly. This is just me in a Hamburglar outfit.
It does sound ridiculous.
It does.
You
it
really know
does.
What I mean? And so I just don't get it. And I just feel like, man, Valentine's Day, or if I have to go to a bachelorette party, like all the things, there's going to be so many opportunities that somebody might see my navel or my shoulder or my belly button or whatever else. And like,
God, what's going to happen
it's
if you go
much.
To the beach together?
Oh,
they might see your belly button.
I know. I don't know. It just seems like it's too much for me. And I don't know if it's worth it.
It doesn't feel even like this is really about the costume. It feels like it's being controlling. He's feeling insecure. These are definite red flags. I don't know if you end this thing based on this, but you certainly got a couple of red flags now.
I think it's only going to get worse. That's the part that concerns me the most, because the more he now like starts to like you even more, it's going to get worse. And this is one of those things I think you'd be better off cutting it off now.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Michelle.
Okay. Thanks for the update.
It's like a trick or treat.
Thank you.
I know. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Go get them tips. All right.
He said tips.
Right. Tips. P-P-P.
The Bird Show.
Mo has never been trick-or-treating. Here we are on the eve of Halloween. Mo has never gone trick-or-treating.
Nope, never in my life. I still remember the moment of bringing it up to you guys at the meeting and how shocked you all were.
It was a gasp.
Yes.
It was
loud gasp. Like the whole room stopped. Yes.
We're doing our brainstorming meeting at Tommy's house, sitting around his dining room table, and then Mo proclaims he's never been trick-or-treating. We were like, what?
Well, I think for most families also, like, it's kind of a bonding night. Yeah. You know, mom, dad helping you with your costume, maybe all of you guys going out together. For me, it was just the opposite, honestly. It was a time, and I lived in a town where you can be out till 9 o'clock at night. And it was me running the streets with my friends, getting as much candy as we could, coming back, trading it. It's just kind of like built into your youth.
Yeah, but also for those families too. I mean, families come in all different shapes and sizes. If you are a single parent and you have to work, I mean, there's plenty of parents that have to miss trick-or-treating. And depending on where you live, because Mo, you grew up in New York at the time, and mom wasn't crazy about the neighborhood, so you didn't get to go.
I think all of that played a factor. I don't think Halloween was ever really a big deal for my mom. Growing up, she was in the same boat with a single parent, and so I think when it was my turn, one factor of it was we didn't live in the best of neighborhoods, and there were a lot of crimes that happened around Halloween, a lot of kids doing just stupid things, and my mom being a single parent for most of those years, I just don't think she wanted me out there without her, and then because she had to work, she couldn't be out there with me. So I think at some point, I just kind of shut that out of my life. Yeah. And I just was never a Halloween person because it just was never a thing for me year after year. And honestly, for years, I never thought anything about it, that I'd never been trick-or-treating. It didn't feel like I missed out or like I was depressed about it. I think for a few years, we even went to church on Halloween, which was weird. It was very weird seeing people like dressed up like that to go to church. But that was the thing for a little bit in my family. And yeah, I never had that experience of going trick-or-treating with like friends or families ever.
So we wanted to remedy that, and we were like, as soon as we heard you'd never been trick-or-treating, the idea was, all right, we were going to have a Burt Show, somebody in our Burt Show family, like, adopt you tomorrow night and take you trick-or-treating for the very first time.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because all of these years of never having been trick-or-treating, and I had brought this up at, like, family functions and things like that several times, no one cared. No one cared at all. But all of a sudden, we start talking about it on the show.
Uh-huh.
And my phone is lit up with friends and family and little cousins telling me I owe them one for not coming to soccer games. And all kinds of stuff of like everybody is asking me to go trick-or-treating with them now. I don't know where this energy was when I was young and needed it. but it is certainly all over my phone now.
So have you committed yet?
Kind of. All right. So, well, one of my cousins is apparently a phenomenal soccer player. And I've learned this recently. I had no idea. And I was supposed to make it to a couple of his games. And I told him I would. But I guess when I told him I would go to his game, he thought that meant like the next one. I just thought I would make one. So I didn't make that one. So I got like the guilt trip text message from my big cousin, his mom, saying, well, since you didn't make it to the game, I asked if you would take him trick-or-treating, which I think I'm pretty sure it was more of a way for her to pawn him off on me, so I have to take him trick-or-treating. But
this is not, no, this is not you taking a a child in your family trick-or-treating. You're not supposed to take a kid trick-or-treating. You are supposed to go trick-or-treating.
Without a kid? Because I think that was, her point was you can't do this on your own. You're going to look creepy. You're too old.
That's why we wanted to have a Burt Show family adopt you. And like, so a family, yeah, going with the kid, you would go with that family with your bag or your pumpkin and go door to door and be like, trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
It's really fun now because at least back in the day, maybe you had these in your neighborhoods, but now you've got different pockets of neighborhoods that shut. I mean, cops come and they shut off the streets.
Ours do that for our neighborhood.
So it's so big. Yeah. So, you know, there used to be neighborhoods back in the day where you'd go and ring the doorbell and then they'd come out. You could do your trick or treat. Then you'd have to walk 7 different houses because there weren't people home or they were just hiding. Now they just do these big parties where they shut off the streets and there's a bunch of them around here.
But there's an angle that we don't attach to. As a black man, does that make you nervous walking up? Like if another family adopted you, like if you came with my family, like walking up to random people's doors as an adult man and then a black man knocking on people's doors going trick or treat.
Yeah, I feel a little weird.
Okay.
Would it be weird? Why?
I'm not exactly sure. Probably just because I'm a grown man.
He's a grown man.
He's with obviously would not be my family to most people that were knocking on their doors. So they probably would feel like, What the hell is going on here?
What I understand is that black people and white people can be friends.
I know they can be, but Mo has had unique interactions that we have not experienced, and I wondered if that would translate here as well.
You wouldn't feel like, what is going on here? If you got somebody rung your doorbell and you answered it, and it was like a white family, and then it's just really odd, tall black man just standing there.
I swear to you, I wouldn't even think twice about it. I just think you're a family friend.
They just dress up like the Blind Side family.
That's the costume.
The Burt Show.
I have a little Georgia pride here. So there's a new study by Wallet Hub that says 3 Georgia cities are ranked among the best and 4 amongst the worst. Okay? If you live in Duluth, you guys were ranked in the 91st percentile, which is pretty dang good.
All right.
Alpharetta, you are 95th. Woo! And according at least to Wallet Hub, the best little town to live in Georgia is Woodstock.
How about that? Ooh.
Someone's just telling me about their downtown area. It's like super, super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the worst. Bless you. Stonecrest.
Mm.
East Point.
Mm.
And LaGrange.
Which we have been to.
And I would agree.
It was a
scary night. It wasn't so much the city, which we didn't really even get to see.
We did not. We saw nothing. To be fair, we saw nothing of LaGrange.
Nothing. I brought a busload of people down because I got nominated to be in the Georgia Hall of Fame, just knowing I was getting in. So we all partied on the way down there, got there, sat through a 2.5-hour ceremony while they're rattling off everybody else's names, and I didn't get in.
Yeah. It was... The Georgia Radio Hall of Fame, and then we're all sitting at you had to buy, and it was not cheap. And Bert had an entire bus full of staff members and friends,
two full tables worth of people.
And every time they announce somebody's name, I'm sitting there holding my iPhone, and then they say somebody else's name, and I have to pull it down and delete it, and then live the back.
We went the entire night.
It's one of the most uncomfortable nights of my life, man, and just everybody looking at me like, so awkward. What do we do now?
It was seriously like they called literally everyone else's name.
everybody else.
Everybody else who was nominated.
And somebody not have a voice or something like that, and they still won.
Some guy wasn't even in radio.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think he just owned a radio.
There's also some postmortem nods as well, like people who weren't unalived were getting in, and Bart sitting there at a table and not getting in.
I think people from Radio Shack were getting awards. Not me, but that's in LaGrange. Love ya.
All right, so a Burt Show family member sent me an email, and she wants to call out the BFF brides. So if you remember, this was a texting tutor we did not that long ago where there are two best friends getting married. They're going to be maid of honors in each other's wedding, and one is getting married next fall. The other one was pushing her wedding because she needed to, like, save up money to do it. But the in-laws swooped in, said, hey, here's a bunch of money. She decided to move up her wedding date and scheduled it 2 weeks before her best friends. And we were trying to text with her to be like, hey, can you please push your wedding date? Because it's going to be too hectic. It's going to be stressful. You're not going to be able to be there for each other like you want to be. And she was not receiving this, right? She was like, no, it'll be fine. But the Burt Show listener we were texting for was very distraught about this and was not happy with this. Well, I got an email from a Burt Show listener saying, me and my best friend got married weeks apart, and it was the best thing ever, and these two need to get over themselves.
Okay.
All right, it goes, hey, Kristen, I'm invested in the story of the friends that ended their friendship over their wedding dates. I heard the follow-up today, and I can't stand by anymore and let people bash BFFs getting married close together. This is wild to me. My best friend and I got married less than a month apart. And when I say best friend, I mean I was her maid of honor and she was mine. We never once questioned our close wedding dates being an issue, and the idea of ending our friendship is actually beyond comprehension. It 100% required a lot of planning and organization. We looked at the calendar far in advance. Her wedding was first, so we planned her shower, then mine a few weeks later. We planned her bachelorette, and then mine a few weeks later. And if you're wondering, how did you have time to support each other? It's never easier to support someone when you are in the same season of life as them. Nobody understood the stress. Nobody related to how happy I was. Nobody wanted to hang out and work on wedding stuff quite like my best friend going through the exact same thing at the exact same time. We would get together and work on our wedding, then my wedding, or we would get together and work on her wedding and then my wedding. We both had been researching for our own wedding, so we were the most prepared to help the other one. We were co-wedding experts. For us, it was no different than being excited to have babies close together with a friend. So you can be pregnant together and be in that season of life together too. And not shocking, we had baby girls less than 6 months apart this year, and it's the best ever. That girl does not need to end her friendship over this. This is such a waste of a lost friendship over this made-up idea that they can't have close weddings. There is no reason they shouldn't both get the fall wedding of their dreams and their best friend by their side. Sincerely, a bestie bride. P.S., in case someone asks, we did not have arguments or issues the entire year of wedding planning.
All right, so let me ask the women of the Burt Show, because when it comes to wedding stuff, Mo and I are sort of on the outside looking in, tailgating. So I understand what she's saying, and I'm glad it worked out for her, but it certainly seems to me like 90% of the emails we've ever taken on this are women upset that they're wedding day is going to be close to either a family member's or a best friend's.
Getting upstaged in some way. Yeah. I mean, I'm like you. I'm so happy that this worked out for the best for her. I'm wondering if this is the unicorn and like this is the exception, not the rule.
I feel like it's the unicorn because I'm trying to put myself in her position. So I'm one of the maid of honors in my cousin's wedding, and my mom and her sister are also very involved in the wedding planning process, and we're all in this big group chat called Wedding Planners. And if we were also trying to plan my wedding at the same time, I think it would be absolute chaos because you have so many dates that can be conflicting, and then there's so many moving parts. Like, we are planning the bridal shower for January, but then the venue's not getting back to us and we have to figure out the right invitations. I mean, there's so many moving parts that I'm so glad for you that it did work out, because it sounds like the perfect scenario. But I think with most people planning weddings, it can be so overwhelming that it really does take a toll on the relationship.
Okay, so Cassie, get in on this. United Nations comes to you three and they say, okay, today is the day. You have to come up with a universal amount of time between your wedding and either your best friend's wedding or another relative. Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it 9 months? What is that day?
For me, it would be next season.
A whole year?
No, not year. The next season. So if I'm married in the spring, summer is yours.
Okay.
To me, because that marks a transition, that's enough time. But honestly, for me, if I were really sitting here thinking about it, I feel like 2 months would be fine. I wouldn't have an issue. If it's less than that, then I'd be like, we're going to have problems with family members making both of events. And that's what it is for me. Like, if we're getting married around the same time, then people are going to choose between us. And I want everybody who wants to be there to be there.
Because weddings are expensive. And for guests, if there's travel involved, like if somebody's doing a destination wedding and then you're like, are you both doing a destination wedding?
So Cristonia, the country of Cristonia says what?
I'm with Cassie. 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
I feel like you need at least 2 months.
I think 2 months, but really I think best case scenario is at least 3.
Mm. Okay. The season thing seems to work.
But yeah, it feels different. Mm-hmm. And that's weird. Like even if I got married in like March and you took like a month later or 2 months later, it feels different because it's transitionally different. And in everyone's heads, it also feels like a different time of year.
It has been said. It is now international law.
Okay. Says who?
Says the Burt Show.
Okay.
The Burt Show.